Good morning. Thank you, worship team. Sometimes you just don't want to come back from that, don't you? I love worship. Don't let the enemy steal your praise. He tried. Lord, we love you this morning. We love your presence here. We love the conversation that goes on between us and you, Lord, during worship. Lord, we just want to continue that attitude of praise. Now, as we enter into your word, Lord, speak to our hearts. Open up heaven for us. Pour out your spirit. Lord, your word does not return void. May it fulfill everything you sent it forth to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scriptures, there's two of them. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that was Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:12. I don't even have to turn the page, do I? Did you notice that? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What does it mean when God repeats himself? It's important. It's always important, no matter what he says. But pay attention. Especially when, for some reason, he wanted to repeat himself in that. Our ways and his ways, they're not the same, are they? This morning I'm going to talk about two verses that are not in the Bible. The first one, I've heard it all my life, and it couldn't be any further from the truth. God helps those that help themselves. It's not in the Bible. Does God save those that can save themselves? Then why would he help those that can help themselves? Does God help only those that can help themselves? Would God help you if you can help yourself? God is a helper, but who does he help? Who doesn't he help? He does not help the proud. If we're able, if we're willing, does God help those that rely on their own efforts? Habakkuk 2:4, behold, the proud, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Actually, I combined two translations there. Behold the proud, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. God does not help the proud. God does not help the lazy. Lazy, the slothful, it says in the Bible, the sluggard, the indolent, those that want to avoid activity. Years ago, I had a friend that was so lazy, he couldn't even get up out of bed in the morning to go get his unemployment check. That's pretty bad, isn't it? He's the type of person that could probably go back in time and not affect history. Do we have any science fiction fans in here? Have you ever met anybody like that? Well, I made it from the bed to the couch. So far, so good. You know, that's going to be about it. Proverbs 24:30-34. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Thy poverty shall come as one that traveleth, like a vagabond, like a aimless wanderer or a drifter. And thy want as an armed man, the want, the everlasting want, the never satisfied want, the deficiency, the impoverishment, the poverty, the lack, and the need. We are supposed to do everything we can to help ourselves. But who does God help? Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Those that are bruised, that are wounded, that are humble. That's what contrite means. We see it again in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that abideth eternity, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Isaiah 40:29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. As we go through our trials and our temptations, the next verse I'm going to read, it talks about temptations, but you can also, a trial is a temptation too, isn't it? It's not just the things that tempt us, it's the things that discourage us. And God is there. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Actually, I got the verses mixed up. But that's okay. I'll come to that a little later. God is our help. Psalm 72:12-14. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Him that hath no helper. When there's no one else. When we're at our weakest. Verse number 2. That isn't in the Bible, and it should be. It is the Bible. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We've all heard that, haven't we? But that's not in the Bible. There's verses similar to it. God's ways. His ways versus our ways. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Kind of sounds like we should be trusting on him, shouldn't we? Because he does help us when we trust in him. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You guys are going to have that verse memorized by the time we're through, aren't you? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. See, we do have a responsibility for our ways, don't we? We shall acknowledge his ways. In all thy ways. The book of Acts, followers of Jesus were called those of the way. We see this in Acts 9:2, where Paul is on the Damascus road. It says, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Well, God had a surprise for him, didn't he? God made a way where there seemed to be no way. You wouldn't think that someone like Paul could be saved. In fact, people had a hard time believing it. Ananias said, I know this guy. I've heard of this guy. Haven't you heard of him, Lord? Yeah, Lord knew him. He also knew what he had planned for him. God's ways. Of the way. Are we of the way? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when it says of the way, who are they talking about? That means we're of Jesus. Because he is the way, and he's the way that God sent for us to have salvation, isn't he? Where there's a will, there's a way. Someone said that this morning. I think someone was reading my notes. No, I know she was, and I keep them well hidden. No, you can't look at that. Where there's a will, there's a way. Is that true? Yeah. If there's a will, will there be a way? I think only if it's in the will of God will there be a way. God doesn't always use the means that we think he should. That's why it says, trust not in your own understanding, because you'll trip all over that, won't you? Trust in him. We learn that at the very beginning of the Bible, the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning God. God tests our faith at the very beginning. It doesn't explain anything, doesn't say anything else. It just says, God. In the beginning, God. Don't trust on your own understanding. I know somebody that very intellectual, very knowledgeable in a lot of the things, but yet she's an atheist. For now. In Exodus chapter 14, God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. God didn't choose the most common or the direct route for the children of Israel to get to Israel, did they? If you look at a map, and most Bibles have one in the back, you'll see that the fastest way there was the way of Shur, or the way of the Philistines. And then another one that was almost as fast was the way of Shur. The way of the Philistines went through the Philistine territory, and the way of Shur went through the Amalek territory. It's faster the way they went, but God didn't want them to see war. He didn't want them to get discouraged and want to go back to Egypt. He does the same things to us, too. When we're new believers, he does extend a little bit of grace to us at the beginning, doesn't he? Well, he obviously extended a lot of grace, but grace in that he kind of keeps us from what the enemy can do at the very beginning. just till we get our bearings a little bit and just till we spend more time with him. Then the enemy comes in like a flood, but then God lifts up a standard. At the Red Sea, we see the faith of Moses. Because Moses held out that rod across the water and the waters parted. I often wonder what Moses was thinking when he did that. Saying, well, this better work or I'm going to look like a fool. I don't think he thought that at all. We heard that, Linda. We see the faith of Moses. We also see not only faith, but we see presumption. Faith on the children of Israel because they crossed when God did this. Presumption on the Egyptians because they tried to cross too. They thought that it's going to be okay. That's kind of like going to heaven or going to hell. There are a lot of people in the world think that, well, I'm not that bad, so I'm going to heaven. Well, that's not how it works. We all know that, don't we? Don't we? We should. That's presumption when we think we're going to go to heaven because God wouldn't send, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. They choose that. Exodus 14, 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel when they turn in encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall be encamped by the sea. In other words, they came to this body of water, and that's where God told them to camp. That's where God brought them to camp. And what happened right after that? All the Egyptians in the world were riding down on top of them. But that's where God brought them. No, they didn't have to fight there. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. See his ways. Because it looked like there couldn't possibly be an escape for them. But there was, because God made their way where there seemed to be no way. A way through that water. Some people think it was a little body of mud. Well, I don't. You know, it'd be, God could probably drown all those Egyptians in 6 inches of mud, but I don't think he did. I think it was water, and I think that water had walls of water on both sides, and they went through. Of course, I also think that they went out of Sinai, and they were going across to Midian, where God said they were going to worship on that mountain in Midian. I believe they went across to the Gulf of Aqaba. Very deep water. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. There was a king, an Israelite king named Jeconiah, or Jehoiakim, or some places it's called Keniah. Jeremiah 22:30, he was so evil that God said this about them. Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. God had promised that there would be a king sitting on the throne of David. And here's this king. He says, no, none of his descendants will. He did have children, but none of his children sat on the throne. Until we come to Joseph, who was one of his children that had an adopted son named Jesus Christ, who had all the benefits and all the privileges. Should have, anyway. He was the rightful king of Israel because Joseph adopted him. But he wasn't a natural, he wasn't a descendant of Jeconiah. Just when you think God can't possibly solve a problem, what's he do? He solves the problem. There's a lady in the Bible named Rahab, Joshua chapter 2. She took in two spies that were spying out the land of Israel when they're getting ready to take over the land. Well, it was Canaan at that time. It wasn't Israel yet. Well, in God's mind it was. But she hid the spies. And she made a deal with them. I won't tell them you're here if you save me, if you spare myself and my family. Her home was on the wall. So those spies went back and they heard Joshua talk about what God had said he was going to do. He's going to bring down the walls. They're going to come down flat. And they probably thought, uh-oh, how can this be? How can we keep our promise to Rahab? God honored their promise. I don't know how he did it. Those walls came down. I believe they came down all the way around, but yet Rahab and her family were spared. Because God made a way where there seemed to be no way. 2,000 years ago, there was a Friday night when 11 disciples met and their world was shattered and they didn't know what was going on. They put all their trust and all their hope in Jesus Christ, and he was killed on the cross and buried. But what happened? Sunday happened. Friday night, everything may look dark, but Sunday's coming, isn't it? God will make a way. This is a verse I was thinking of earlier. That's what happens when you don't read your notes. God will make a way. Are you going through a trial? Maybe you're struggling with temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation or no trial taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody said something about faithful. A faithful God who's never let you down, has never broken a promise. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. When we're tempted, God will make a way of escape. When we're going through a trial, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Two of my favorite words in the Bible are in that verse. But God. How many in here have had their lives changed by that? We're headed for hell, but God. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. How can we get into heaven? How can we stand before a holy God when we have sin in our life? I don't think anybody with sin can exist in the presence of God. I would think that they would be totally consumed just by the holiness, the fire that's in that holiness. But God made a way, didn't he? That sin was removed and it was put on his Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross. He took on our sins. He paid the penalty of death. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God. He makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Psalm 77:19, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. A new thing. Now it will spring forth, it says. Away in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. He says, I will. Are you looking at a hopeless situation? Something you don't think there's a solution to? Is it Friday for you? Sunday's coming. Hang in there. Because God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all the times when you have made a way for us. Many times We didn't even know that you were doing anything, Lord. Someday we're going to get to see a video, I think, of the things you've done and the times you've been there. Because you have been there. You're always there. When we walk through the waters, you'll be with us. When we walk through the fire, you'll be with us. Lord, just keep your hand on your people, your protection. Lord, as we get closer to the end, just help us to keep focused on you, on your faithfulness, on your power. And Lord, may this all be for your glory. Be with us today. Help us, Lord, just to bring honor to your name. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody.